Turn our attention to Dr. Emmanuel Taban. As I say, pulmonologist, he is our trailblazer today. Very excited to speak to this gentleman. The phone lines at his offices in Centurion have been ringing absolutely constantly. Families of COVID-19 patients who are desperate to find new ways to help their family are definitely trying to reach out to him. You would remember, especially in the early days of lockdown, how important or how powerful the ventilator concern was. First, it was the fact that there weren't enough ventilators. Secondly, the fact that once ventilators were put forward, it wasn't actually clear exactly how they would be applied to people's lungs, and it seemed as though they were working quite rough, and it seemed as though in many cases, even when ventilators were acquired, they then weren't solving the problem of people's ability to breathe. Well, Dr. Emmanuel Taban made a discovery with respect to a potential mucus in the lungs, which he then undertook a procedure to remove the mucus physically from the lungs, with which he has been able to save lives in a number of follow-up procedures. He saved lives that might not never have been saved in this absolutely pioneering procedure. And he joins us this morning, a hero of our times right now during COVID-19. Dr. Emmanuel Taban, welcome to Breakfast with Rufilwe as our trailblazer. How are you today?
Thank you, Rufilwe, and thank you to your listeners. I'm doing very well. It's been a difficult morning.
And why is that, sir?
No, we have quite our ICU quite full, and we don't have really enough beds to accommodate everybody. And been a very difficult moment, I think, as a COVID-19 is concerned. Patients are quite sick, and there's lack of ventilators in the country.
Indeed. So we will not keep you too long. We would just like to give you your flowers, just to acknowledge the work that you've done. Dr. Taban, I mean, your story is quite apart from this procedure itself, is a powerful story overcoming adversity. Coming here from South Sudan, you left the Republic of South Sudan. Well, it hadn't been established at the time, but you left at the age of 16 after the civil war, and forged this incredible career in medicine. I think before we go and look back at the history, can we just kick off with what prompted you to make this discovery with respect to the mucus in the lungs?
I think the issue that I think since we started treating patients with COVID-19, the biggest issue is that most of the patients were dying. And the question that sometimes you find that these patients don't have infection, they don't have pneumothorax, the x-ray is normal. However, you still can't put oxygen in their lungs. And that's the reason actually I end doing bronchoscopies on them, and then we find that they were mucus, and actually you could change the course of their disease when you do bronchoscopy on them. But the issue that I think there's so much misconception out there about bronchoscopies, because initially when the World Health Organization issued a moratorium, was saying that it's not safe to do diagnostic bronchoscopy, but not therapeutic. So the World Health Organization actually have not said anything about therapeutic bronchoscopy rather than diagnostic. So we're not doing it for diagnostic, we're doing it for therapeutic, means it's for treating patients. And the issue that, again, as I mentioned on my study, that bronchoscopy is not done as a routine on everybody. Not everybody needs bronchoscopy either. It's only for certain selected number of patients after they have excluded infection, fluid overload, pneumothorax, and other things, and you still cannot, your patient's not recovering. That's when we consider bronchoscopy on this patient, and that's when we find mucus plug. So it's not a routine procedure. Not everybody must get bronchoscopy. It's not true. You have to look for treatable cause first before you do bronchoscopy. So we're embarking it as the last option in managing a patient with COVID-19.
Right. And what is it that actually prompted you to do so with that first patient that you assisted?
Because I lost two of my patients, I couldn't put air in their lungs, and the literature was saying that patients will die with COVID-19 because of the lung fibrosis or thrombosis, and those patients, no matter what you do, they would die. And that was the part, and then post-mortem didn't give me the answer that I need. So I needed to see into their lungs, antemortem, and then see what happened. Because post-mortem, someone said, if you make a discovery, just a waste of time. So it's about doing something that to see. And in the past, nobody actually had done bronchoscopy in all of the world. So I needed to see, and that was the discovery. I mean, we know in the fact that World Health Organization also said that we should not be doing post-mortem on COVID-19, but Italians did the post-mortem, and they discovered that actually those patients died with thrombosis. That's why we use anticoagulation. So the question is that I think it's a very important finding, and something that every doctor should be performing bronchoscopy, or not as a routine, but as a last option on a hypoxemic patient that are hypoxic, with no prognosis. You have to do it, and it's very safe. And there are quite a few studies now coming that actually bronchoscopy is safe in those patients.
I mean, it's powerful what you're saying, because this is how we're learning. This is a completely new disease. And unfortunately, as risky as it is, the post-mortem and the bronchoscopy was so important. And it was a risk that paid off. After you were successful with your first procedure, how many were you able to complete? Because you wanted to ensure that this was something that was repeatable and reliable.
I think I've done now more than 40 patients, and then number of procedures probably quite more. And actually, at this moment, I have my cardiothoracic surgeon, Dr. Nils Krubit, also who helps to do most of the bronchoscopies now, because I'm extremely getting busier. So he does also help with bronchoscopy, those with the day 8 and those who post tracheostomy. So we do bronchoscopy. We suck out a lot of mucus plaque. We save a lot of disease for life. So it's not true that bronchoscopy, there's no mortality. When I write my first study, that time some of the patients were still in the hospital, so you could not really talk about mortality benefit when some of the patients were not out of the hospital. So we released a study to make people aware that indeed there's mucus plaque that exists. So for instance, on mucus plaque in patients with COVID-19 is no longer a debate. It's a fact, because they're quite, my study, there's a Spanish study with 101 patients where 95% of those patients having mucus plaque. So it's actually not an issue of debate. It's really a fact. But the issue is that I think people are just afraid. It's born out of fear that bronchoscopy is unsafe. It's not unsafe. You can't manage. And my argument is that patients with COVID-19, we shouldn't discriminate about them. We should treat them like any other ARDS patient, give them the best care as possible. After all, they actually got a better prognosis than ARDS patients.
So this is an interesting thing. So, Dr. Taban, when you say fear is what's driving things, would you say this is coming from patients? Because I imagine those who are coming to you are quite desperate at that point. Or is it from the medical fraternity?
I think medical fraternity, because the issue that most of pulmonologists, of course, they have that fear that if they have if they done bronchoscopy, most of these patients would die, or the fact that they will pick up the disease. But I mean, if it's done under negative pressure, they should not be picking up disease. But also, again, we did say the guideline that in hypoxemic patients, there's benefit. So they should consider in hypoxemic patient. We're not saying that everybody that comes in. We don't do bronchoscopy on somebody who is not on ventilator for more than 7 to 8 days. You know, you do them when it's indicated. You have to select your patient carefully as a last resort for us to save lives. For me, saving even one life, better than not saving none.
Absolutely.
That's the reality.
And out of those 40 patients on whom you've done bronchoscopy, have they all been successful?
The bronchoscopy, they've been successful. However, we lost about 4 to 5 of them from infection, not lung-related issues. You know, so now a patient with COVID-19 would die in ICU because of infection or mucus plaque or other things, but not because you couldn't put the air in their lung. It's something that is treatable.
And those risks are obviously high given the stage at which you decide to actually undergo the bronchoscopy. Out of interest, those remaining successful cases, does the mucus plaque return?
They do return, because some of the patients you have to do up to 3 bronchoscopy at once. Like you do 1 2 days, and after 2 3 days you have to repeat it again because they get blocked throughout. And even patients that you perform tracheostomy when they've been on the last for more than 10 to 14 days, then you do tracheostomy on them. Sometimes they bleed inside and then they form clots in their lung. Again, you need to remove them out. So the benefit of bronchoscopy in ICU is enormous. You know, it's not even about the mucus plug. You have to manage your patient. You have to get answers why your patient is not ventilating. That's the fact. You know, you can't just manage ICU and accept everything.
And clearly, MediClinic has been very supportive of this whole rollout. Are you starting to see a little bit of a change as more and more successful cases come through from a broader set? I know that there's still fear in the academia, but for example, if I come to MediClinic, are they allowing you to train other doctors in this particular role? Is it something that's now that, for example, the medical aides are able to support in terms of payment and the like?
Yeah, I think bronchoscopy itself is not that expensive either. It's very cheap.
Okay.
In the past, pulmonologists never do bronchoscopy because it never pays. So it's always done by cardiothoracic surgeon. But I always had interest in bronchoscopy because I did quite a lot of training in Europe. So I did them because of passion out of it. And yes, MediClinic has been supporting in terms of the staffing, in terms of the bronchoscopy in ICU, because like this morning, I wake up at 3 o'clock. We have a patient that was in septic shock. And then, of course, we did bronchoscopy. We couldn't find much because of the sepsis. despite having normal CRP. So it actually helps, it guides you, you know, and the patients are fine. So the question that I think is really, really, I think for me, the academic center, I mean, the government patients, most of the government ICUs are not full like the way we are. I mean, we got 20 ventilated patients to 30 ventilated patients. I know my nearest hospital, which is the government's the bigger hospital, they only got about 10 ventilators. So these are kind of different, it's a huge gap. And the number of patients that they treat, obviously means for that 10 bed, they have to choose their patients carefully, as compared to us that we have to accept many patients because of that, or they're good candidates. And that's where the difference is. So you need to see a lot of patients to be able to see Mika's plaque. Yes, it's true that not every bed patient have Mika's plaque. That's why we say exclude infection, exclude fluid overload, exclude pneumothorax, make sure those patients have nothing that is reversible. If all of the above is not there, then do bronchoscopy of them and see whether you could find Mika's plaque or blocked tube.
Yeah. Look, doctor, we're just really grateful that you were able to make the time. As you said, it's very busy where you are, and we're so glad that after a couple of weeks of chasing, we were able to find a space in your schedule to speak to you. Just wanted to thank you for making these rare findings that have saved now, you know, upwards of 30 lives, tens of lives, that were obviously on the brink. And thank you again for what you're doing and your continued commitment to your assistance during this COVID-19 pandemic.
And thank you very much. Thanks for the interview. And yeah, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All righty. Dr. Emmanuel Saban, pulmonologist at MediClinic South Africa, calling us or speaking to us from Central.